week's Shedra Chukas has a lot of topics that have to do with death. Aaron HaKohen dies in this week's Shedra. Miriam HaNevia dies in this week's Shedra. Both Moshe and Aaron are decreed to die before they come into Eretz Yisrael in this week's Shedra. And therefore, it is not difficult to understand why the Torah prefaced this Shedra with Paraduma. The mitzvah of Paraduma was given already in the second year in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, before they made Pesach Sheni, before the Mishkan was erected. So why is it mentioned over here? After the Chet HaMeraglim, after the Chet of Korach. But basically because it is a preface to very difficult parshios of the Misa of Miriam, the Misa of Aaron. And Chazal say in addition that it wants to tell us that just like the Paradumas Mechaper on is Mechaper, it atones for sin seemingly, so too Misa Satzadikim, the death of Tzadikim, also is an atonement. You have to understand how that works and how the Paraduma is an atonement. The Ribbono Shel Olam is called Kel Chai. He is the force of all life. He's Chei HaOlamim. He is the life force of all the worlds. The worlds can't exist without him. He's called Elohim Chaim. Chayim means that which exists. We can't describe God as being living because God is not alive. God is the ultimate existence. But the word Chayim, life, means that which exists. Whereas death represents that which has the absence of existence. And that's why Avodah Zorah, which is the antithesis of the Ribbono Shel Olam, is called Mesim, Zivchei Mesim. It's as opposed to God, who is the source of all existence and therefore called alive. Avodah Zorah is called death. It's metame, what's it called, like it would be a dead body, Avodah Zorah. And therefore, the Pasuk says, V'atem hadveikim b'ashem elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom. Having an attachment, a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam is the ultimate life. And those that are separated from the Ribbono Shel Olam are called dead, and therefore Rishoyim b'chayeyim nikroim mesim. And Torah is called the Torah of life, and the purpose of Torah is v'chay bohem, should live with them, because Torah gives existence, and the absence of Torah is the absence of existence. Okay, that is the concept of life and death. And therefore, man was created to create that attachment with the Ribbono Shel Olam and to be alive, to live and to continue to live eternally. However, because of the chait of Adam and Chava, and subsequently the chait ha'egel, okay, death became a necessity as part of the process of eternal life. There had to be a time when people died. Okay, and that corrected what was caused by both the chait of Adam and Chava, and then after that was corrected by Matan Torah, the subsequent chait ha'egel, which brought things back to the original status where death was necessary, which it hadn't been without those chatoim. The idea being the following. The purpose of this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created our neshamas in order that he should have a intimate relationship with them. They should be able to attach themselves and connect themselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam eternally. And had we not sinned, had Adam HaRishon not sinned, that would have happened in the following way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the neshama into a body in this physical world, and he gave it things to do so it could create and earn that relationship with him instead of being given it on a silver platter. Both because that which you earn you appreciate, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to appreciate that relationship with him, and also in order to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to be more like him. And if we would be given that perfection, then that is not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't receive anything from anyone. So therefore, we create that perfection. We are the masters of our perfection, and in that way, we're more like the Ribbono Shel Olam and can be more connected to him because we have a connection, we have a similarity with him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put our neshamas into this physical world, and he told us to create the relationship with him. And that's the idea of Olam Hazeh is a prozdor bifnei ha'olam haba. This world is like a preparation room to a castle. The only reason why this world was created was to prepare us to get to the castle. The only things that were created are the equipment that's needed to prepare yourself to get into the castle. Just like in a preparation room to a castle, they don't equip it with anything else except that equipment that you need to get into the castle. They put anything extraneous in there. And the only thing that it's used for is to get into the castle, to prepare yourself. It has no other function for this world. It's not created for any other function. It's not equipped for any other function. And it doesn't serve any other function. That doesn't mean people can abuse it, can't abuse it, and use it the wrong way. But every single thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, Kol Ma Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bi'olamo Lo Bro Ela Lechvodo, in some way, it can be used or not used. We have free choice, good and bad. Things were created to be able to be used in such a way that we can create that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and get Olam Haba. Had it not been for, and therefore, the purpose of this world is to fulfill the Torah, v'chai bohem, in order that you should live by the Torah, both in this world and the next world. But the main thing of v'chai bohem is creating that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, even though we learn from v'chai bohem that pikuach nefesh, that mitzvahs are don't take precedence over life, right? That if it's a question of life or doing a mitzvah under most circumstances, a person transgresses the mitzvah or the aveira to sustain life, your mechal Shabbos, to sustain life, v'chai bohem. But the Targum says that v'chai bohem really goes on the world to come. V'chai bohem la'alma di'asi, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do in this world those things that will promote eternal life. Sometimes being able to do more mitzvahs, transgressing a mitzvah now in order to be able to do more mitzvahs is what will promote Olam Haba. On the other hand, sometimes transgressing an Aveira will destroy our Olam Haba, and therefore living in this world and transgressing the Aveira is negative, since it doesn't promote Olam Haba. Therefore, there are certain things that are Yoharig Valyavar. A person has to give his life in this world for Torah. And there are certain things where the Torah is pushed away for the sake of saving life. Because it's not that life in this world is more important than Torah. It's that life in this world, Alpi the Torah, is what creates Olam Haba. So in certain situations, it's better to live and continue to doing mitzvahs in this world. Certain Averas, it's better to die in this world because that promotes your eternal existence. So there's no contradiction between them. It's just what things will promote your eternal existence more by living, what things will promote your eternal existence by dying in this world. Therefore, according to the first plan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had, he put our neshamas into this physical world in a body, and he gave the body the ability to perfect the neshama more and more. And the more perfect the neshama became, it perfected the body and purified it more and more. And the body, being more of a pure body, was able then to perfect the neshama more. And this would have been a symbiotic relationship until both the body and the soul reached perfection and graduated to the next world. That was, the Ramchal says, the original plan. However, since Adam HaRishon sinned, and he basically used this world in a negative way, abused this world, and separated himself from the Rabban Shel Olam by eating from the Eitz Hadas, and wanting to be a god on his own, and not attached to the Rabban Shel Olam. So he brought death into the world. The reason being that now the world was no longer connected 100% to the Rabban Shel Olam. There was a separation. There was an irbuv of tov and ra, like the Nefesh HaChaim says. There now was a mixture of good and evil. Evil being the absence of existence. Good being what exists. But there was a mixture of existence and non-existence in the world, of good and bad. And therefore the body, which now embodied within it negative things, things that were separated from the Rabbanu Shel Olam, could no longer perfect the neshama, and therefore the neshama could no longer perfect the body, and there had to come a time when the body and the soul were separated, where each one could be purified on its own, in its own way. The body goes into the ground, returns to its elements, and the negatives that have accumulated in the body are removed. The neshama goes to an olam ha-neshamos, to a spiritual world, either to Gan Eden, to Gehenim, to Kafakela, somehow where the impurities that have come into the neshama are extracted, and eventually they will be put back together again. That's called Tchias HaMesim, and that ultimately is the either the precursor to Olam Haba or Olam Haba itself, shaila between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether Olam Haba is Tchias HaMesim or Tchias HaMesim will come before Olam Haba. Olam Haba will be just a spiritual world, whatever it may be, but the Tchias HaMesim will be a preface to Olam Haba, meaning that at that point the body will be purified, the neshama will be purified, they'll be able to work together and have that connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So one of the reasons why death was necessary was because the chait of Adam and Chava, and subsequently the chait ha'ego, brought a mixture of good and bad into the world, of existence and non-existence, and no longer could the body and the soul work together in this world to reach perfection and to reach the world to come. There had to be a stage in between of Misa, where the body and the soul are separated. That's what Misa is, and each one returns to its elements and is purified individually. There's another reason why Misa was necessary after these sins, because since people showed that they didn't appreciate the life that they had, they didn't use it properly, so they didn't appreciate it, so therefore the Sfarno says life was shortened, and because it's short, it's appreciated more. People know they don't have all the time in the world to accomplish what they have to accomplish. Hayom kotzer v'hamalacha maruba, the day is short and the work is great, and therefore people are given the incentive to produce. Because if we had unlimited time, if we would use the time properly, then we could do tremendous things in that unlimited time. But man showed that if he has unlimited time, he'll abuse that time, abuse life, and therefore it was shortened in order that we have an incentive to use it properly and to accomplish what we're supposed to accomplish in this world, which is only a temporary place altogether. So that is the two ideas behind death. Death was necessitated by the difference that existed in the world after the sin, and death was in order to give man an incentive to use this the time that he has in this world properly. And that, the truth is what it says in the Sedra later on, the end of the Sedra. It says, Al kein yomru hamoshlim bo'u cheshbon. Come and make a cheshbon. So the Gemara says that homiletically it means the following. Even though it's talking about coming and settling the city of cheshbon, which was a city of Moab and conquered by Sichon. But homiletically, the drash is Alkein Yomru Hamoshlim Elu Shemoshlim BeYitzrom. Those that already have learned to control the Yetzer Hara say to the people who haven't learned, Bo v'naseh hashbono shalolam, let's make the tally, the reckoning of the world. Schar mitzvah keneged hefseidah, the reward of a mitzvah opposite the loss that you'll incur, and hefsed aveira keneged schar, and the loss that will come from an aveira opposite the gain you think you'll have. There are many different interpretations of what that means. Cheshbono shel olam. But thinking that it represents this idea. Since the chait of Adam and Chava, there is nothing in this world that is totally bad and totally good. Everything is a mixture of good and bad. And therefore, a person can't merely make a cheshbin of mitzvahs, do the mitzvah because it's totally beneficial. Don't do an aveira, it's totally detrimental. It's not true. A mitzvah has a downside to it. There are hefsedim, there are losses that you'll have by doing a mitzvah. There are negatives, even in the greatest mitzvah. And there are also positives, even in the greatest aveira. The chachma in this world is to make cheshbono shel olam, to make the cheshbin and to see the positive and the negative of everything and to decide where the positive outweighs the negative, where is there's a mitzvah and where is a aveira where the negative outweighs the positive. But you have to take everything into consideration. You have to make that cheshbono shel olam. This world now has a cheshbon to make. There's good, there's bad. There are always a mixture. You have to make the cheshbon to know how to deal with that mixture. And therefore, the fear of death, which is, if it wouldn't be curtailed, that a person would have to develop it, it would prevent a person from accomplishing anything in this world. And it also would make a person have to do good. So therefore, the Svarim say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu buffered the fear of death. People don't think about it. They have to develop it. Right? To have Zochris Yom HaMisa. But it's there to make a person function properly. She'd realize that he's not going to be able to achieve total perfection in this world. He's going to have to at some point die in order to achieve that perfection. And while he's here, he should make the most of what time he has, because this is the only place where a person can at least set the stage for that perfection. And therefore, the Gemara says the following. La'olam yargiz adam yetzer hatov al yetzer hara. A person should constantly agitate his yetzer hatov over his yetzer hara. If he nitzcho, if he's successful, then tov, mutav, very nice. If he's not successful, then he should learn Torah. If he's not successful with that, then he should read Kriya Shema. If he's not successful with that, he should remember the day of death. So everybody asks, if remembering the day of death, remembering that you're mortal, is going to stop you from doing averas, then why not get to that first? Why not just remember the day of death? So, the idea, I think, is that if you don't... No, we'll get to that in a second. Let's leave that for that question for now. The Chafetz Chaim says that a person who is afraid to live isn't afraid to die. It's the people who aren't afraid to live who are afraid to die. But if you use this world properly and you anticipate and take seriously what the world is all about, then there's nothing to be afraid of dying. You've used the word properly. You need now that situation of death to enable you to come back and have that perfection that the Rabbanu Shalom meant for you to create in this world. And that's why it says that at the chasana of Hamanuna Rabbah, I think that's who it was, they asked one of the Amoroyim to sing a song for the sake of the Chosin and Kala. So the song that he sang was Vailon de Misna, they were all going to die. So they said, well, what's the chorus? Right? The chorus is that where is all of the necessities that we need to take along for the trip? Which means the following, that if you understand the purpose of death, that it makes life more appreciative, more appreciated, and that it represents the fact that whatever you can accomplish in this world needs, because of the nature of the way the world is now, needs death to be able to complete it, then death is not something to be afraid of, nor something negative. But it's a positive part of the process of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if life is important, then getting married and having children and seeing to it that this world can continue to exist is important. If life isn't important, then getting married is not important either. So the song that made the chasana more important and more significant was this idea that there's death and therefore life is short, make the most of it, try to reach as much perfection as you can, and create posterity for the next generation. That's what it says, Zos HaTorah Odom Ki Yomus Ba'ohel. Torah is, what is Zos Chukas HaTorah Odom Ki Yomus Ba'ohel? That if a person wants to live eternally, then he has to look at this world as a temporary place, as a tent. This is not the major place. And he has to die in this world in order to live in the next world, meaning that he has to take those things in this world that are not, do not promote the world to come, that are this world for the sake of this world, total materialism for no ruchniyistika sake, and kill them, desist from them, in order to be able to live in the next world by using this world in a way that is promotes the eternity of the next world. And that's why Chazal say, the world is good, that's chayim. Tov ma'od, it's very good, is mavis. Because in order for the world to be very good, to achieve its purpose, there has to be death after the chayt. Before the chayt not, but after the chayt there has to be death. Both to enable that perfection to come, and in order to give people the incentive to want to do in this world what will enhance that perfection, for those two reasons. And that's why it says that David HaMelech saw five worlds, five things, and on each one he said Shira. One of them was Yistakel B'yom HaMisa. He saw the day of death and he said Shira, because understanding death in the proper perspective is something to sing about. The way the nature of the world is, it's necessary. It's necessary both to promote the proper use of this world and to enable this world to achieve the perfection of the next world that it's supposed to achieve. And that's why, on the other hand, death appears to be a temporary separation between the soul and the body, between Gashmias and Ruchnias, between the person and the Ribbono Shel Olam. It seems like there is the absence of existence when a person comes in contact with death. And death, therefore, represents a separation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why someone who comes in contact with the dead can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, because it affects his relationship and attachment to God. Where do you attach yourself to God in this world? In the Beis HaMikdash. How do you attach yourself? By bringing sacrifices, by eating the sacrifices. He can't bring a sacrifice and he can't eat the sacrifices if he's Tamei Meis. And that's why there's Avelus by Misa. What do we mourn? L'chora, we said death is a necessary part of the process, and it makes life more important. But L'maisa, it was brought about by sin. It's a necessary thing, but it's a necessary separation, kibiyachol, of the body from the soul, and that in itself is something to mourn. Because by mourning, we appreciate what brought about the need for death, and therefore we're more sensitive to the purpose of life. That's what Avelus is. The Malbim says a very interesting idea. It says that after Adam HaRishon sinned and he ate from the Eitz Hadas, so God threw him out of Gan Eden and he put at the gates of Gan Eden two things, Kruvim and Lahat Hacherev HaMisapeches, and the sword, the two-edged sword. There were Kruvim guarding the Derech Eitz Hachayim. Says the Malbim, the idea is the following. There are two things that will permit a person to come back to Gan Eden. Kruvim. Kruvim represent that which is above the Aron, Torah, Mitzvahs, Nevuah, Malachim, spiritual world, which comes through the Torah. That's the first thing the Kruvim represent. By living, learning Torah, which was given through the Nevi'im, right? Derech HaMalachim, whatever. The spiritual world, a person will be able to regain Gan Eden. But also, Lahat Cherva Misapechas, he says, is the sword of the Malach HaMavis. And it's a two-edged sword. It gives death to the body and life to the neshama. So, death and keeping Torah and mitzvahs, and we said that death itself promotes you and gives you the incentive to keep Torah and mitzvahs because it shows you that life is short and you better make the best of your time. At the same time, death is a natural need to return to Gan Eden in order that the soul and the body be atoned for separately, which they can't anymore be done together. So that is the Malbim. Therefore, Chazal say that there are 903 different kinds of mises. The most painful is askara, is like a choking death, which Gemara compares to taking wool and pulling it over thorns, where to get the wool out is very, very difficult. It sticks to the thorns. It's hard to take the neshama out of the body. And the most simple, the easiest mises is neshika, where the kiss of death, where God, kibiyachol, the soul leaves the body like a magnet, drawn to the Rabbanu Shalom. The idea being, the more a person is attached to this world, for the sake of this world, the harder it is for his neshama to leave it. His neshama is imprisoned in a body that is attached to the world. And therefore, it's hard to get the neshama out of this physical world. Sometimes it can't even leave the physical world right away. It has to go to Kafakela. It remains in this physical world for a time. Or it's nisgalgel into physical things in this world. Sometimes it has to go to Gehenna first. So, if as much as the person was rooted in this world for the sake of this world, the harder it is to leave it. The more a person lived in this world of spiritual existence, so as neshama leaves this world very easily and graduates to the next stage, that's called misas neshika. So the and that's the idea of Para Aduma. Para Aduma is a representation of all of that that which we mentioned. Para Aduma is the, what's it called, is the mother of the eagle, the Cheta eagle. The Para itself, what's it called, shows that Mavis came because of Chet doing Neged Ratzon Hashem, right? And the eagle separated between God and the Jewish people. They wanted to go through this intermediary. And we bring the mother to clean up the mess that the child made. Why the mother? That's what the Medrash says. Why the mother of the eagle? Because a mother has a connection to that child which is beyond rationale. And therefore the mother can clean up the mess the child made, and it doesn't bother her, because mama's like part of her. That's why the mother isn't affected with changing the baby's diapers and cleaning up his vomit. So if the child messed up, you call the mother. So too, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond rationale. Even when we're sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't abandon us. So HaShochein Itam B'Soch Tumasam, even though death is necessary, and death comes because of sin, it's not because we're separated from the Rabbanu Shalom. It only appears to be like that. So what death can cause tumah, which separates the person from Hashem, prevents him from going to the Beis HaMikdash, prevents him from eating karbanos, but the Para Aduma tells me that's only as it appears, but it's not really like that. You still have a connection. Even the body that's dead has a connection to the Rabbanu Shalom. And that's why we shecht the Parah Aduma outside the Beis HaMikdash. This is all a process that has to do with separation, not within the Beis HaMikdash, outside the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore it shows that sin is what caused this separation. What represents the sin? The Eitz Erez, along with the Parah Aduma, you have a piece of cedar tree, which represents gaiva, haughtiness. And you have an Azov, which represents that a person feels too lowly. We'll get in a second how this works out. And a Shni Tolas, which represents sin. Sin is im yucha to'echim kashonim, right? If they'll be red, crimson, they'll turn white. Red, a red dye is a symbol of sin. Why are these three things? And now let's go back to the Gemara that we said. It says that a person should remember the day of death, it will prevent him from sinning. Like we said, the day of death has two things. It'll remind him that because of sin, we're separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and can't reach perfection. So the less sin you have, the easier it is to leave this world and get that perfection. And secondly, right, because of sin, we're not using our time in this world, which is limited, properly. So we remember that we only have limited time, we use the time properly. What, however, could go against that? That's the positive way of remembering the day of death. It gives you a feeling of urgency to use life properly and to understand that that sin separates between you and God and prevents you from getting your perfection. And therefore you'll do less sins and do more mitzvahs. Use the time properly. But there are other reactions to remembering the day of death, remembering your mortality, that are negative reactions. First you have to counteract those negative reactions before you can remember the day of death and make it positive. What are the negative reactions? The first one is haughtiness. Person realizes that he is vulnerable, so he decides that he will control his fate. All he'll have to do is eat healthy, jog, exercise, and he'll live forever. Right? A person begins to think, "Kochi votsim yodi, I can guarantee my continued existence. All I have to do is do the things that are right." Now, that doesn't mean a person shouldn't do what's right. He shouldn't eat healthy, and he shouldn't jog, and he shouldn't, but he should never think that those things are going to guarantee that he's going to live an extra minute. Right? I think the person who perfected jogging died of a heart attack while jogging. So jogging is not going to guarantee your long life. Neither is eating a healthy diet, or neither is exercising. They're all positive things. But a person should never think that he's in control. So the first thing a person should do to counteract that feeling of the Eitz Erez, right, the gaiva of Kochi v'yotzem yodi, I can control my fate, is Yargiz Yetzer HaTov al Yetzer Hara. Agitate your Yetzer HaTov over the Yetzer Hara. Remember, that's the only thing that's in your power. HaKol b'dei shamayim chutz mi'ira shamayim. The only thing you really control is your moral choices. Everything else is in God's control. That's the first thing. Second reaction is just the opposite. Feeling lowly and giving up hope. Well, if I'm going to die, then what's the purpose of everything? There's no use to anything. Then everything's a waste of time. It's not kedai to get up in the morning, not kedai to do anything, right? The person becomes inactive, depressed, totally non-productive. That's the azov. That's the lowly weed. That's another negative idea which you have to burn together with the Parah Aduma. Okay? How do you counteract that? Learn Torah. Torah tells you that every single thing in this world is important, because the Torah shows you how to use everything in the world in a way that will guarantee and give you eternity. So the world is a very important world. There's a lot to do here. There's a whole Torah to do. So by learning Torah, a person counteracts that negative reaction to death of giving up hope. Then there is the last negative reaction, and that is, if I know that I could die tomorrow, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Right? Taiva, the Yetzer Hara. Right? Let's sin and get the most of this world, because we're going to die anyway. What counteracts that? What counteracts that is read Kriyashma. Kriyishma reminds you that you have to accept the yoke of God's kingdom, that there's reward and there's punishment, right? And you can't just do whatever you want. Where is that in the Paraduma? The Shni Tolas, the crimson chet. That's the desire to sin, enjoy yourself, right, before you die. Those are the three negative reactions. Once you've counteracted those three negative reactions, which are represented by the three things that go along with the Paraduma, which represents the whole idea of death and separation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're able to put it together, the ashes, with Mayim Chayim, with living water, which is Torah. Torah is living waters. And now you have the positive, remembering the day of death, which gives you the urgency of doing that which is positive. Recognizing that it's necessary for your ultimate perfection to have to separate between the physical and the spiritual temporarily, right? That is metahir, a person who has tumas mace. A person who comes in contact with the dead is affected by that seeming separation. To put death into perspective is what the Paraduma does. And therefore, we sprinkle the ashes of the Paraduma on the person on the third day and the seventh day. The third day and seventh day represent the third day of creation and the seventh day of creation. The first day of creation, God separated between light and darkness. The second day, He separated between the upper waters and the lower waters. There's constant separation. But on the third day, the Ribbono Shel Olam created dry land and gave a person a place to be in this world. And He also created the seeds of vegetation, which show that from this world you plant a seed and you harvest it in the next world. So after the separation of good and evil and the separation of Ruchnius and Gashmius, which took place on the first 2 days, then the Ribbono Shel Olam set the pattern for being able to use this world properly and plant the seeds of Olam Haba here. So that also has the same connection to recognizing the separation in this world, good, evil, Ruchnius, Gashmius, the need to separate them, which is the need for death, and the urgency of planting the seeds here, otherwise you won't be able to harvest the results. That's why Paraduma is mechaper. It gives a proper perspective through the Paraduma on death, which is the same thing, Mises Sadikim, right? Mises Sadikim also have the same perspective. When a tzaddik dies, you understand both things. It's necessary for that tzaddik to die because of the chait of Adam and Chava, not their chatoim. At the same time, the tzaddik used his time properly. He was able to leave this world in the most advantageous way with Neshika, like Miriam, in order to be able to reach that perfection. So the mis of a tzaddik represents both things. We learn from the tzaddik the urgency of using this life properly like they did, and that if eventually you have to leave this world, right, it shouldn't be for your own sins that you have that will delay your perfection, but at least only blame Adam HaRishon, right, and not your own sin. That's why when Miriam died, the Be'er Mayim Chayim, the living waters, went away. Because the same idea, Klal Yisrael then were supposed to appreciate getting them back. And appreciate the fact that a person in this world has to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam naturally. Not be forced to do it. He should use this world properly. That's what the purpose of the world is. That was what Moshe Rabbeinu had spoken to the rock. And it produced its water. They would have said, if rocks, which don't get rewarded and punished, do God's will naturally, don't have to be coerced, don't have to be hit, just spoken to, then us, surely, it's a natural process to want to do Ratzon Hashem in this world. That's the purpose of this world. But because Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, they didn't get that message. They got the message that's just the opposite. This world is not necessarily naturally to do Ratzon Hashem. You got to coerce people to do Ratzon Hashem. They didn't have that Kiddush Hashem. And therefore, the purpose of that Misa didn't help. Moshe Rabbeinu had to die. And that's why Miriam died. Because otherwise it doesn't make sense. If Moshe and Aaron wouldn't have died had it not been for the chait of Mei Meriva, then why did Miriam die? Why didn't she go into Eretz Yisrael? But the idea being that she reached her shleimus. The purpose of this world is to reach her perfection. If you reach that perfection, she didn't need Eretz Yisrael. She reached her perfection here. She died with Neshika. Moshe and Aaron had not yet reached their perfection. They really would have needed Eretz Yisrael. But because of the Chet of Mei Meriva, that was prevented. And that's why it says that death is like a birth. Yesher HaChayim gives an example of twins that are in the womb. One a believer and one a non-believer. And the non-believer says, this is it. We're going into oblivion. There's nothing beyond the womb. Right? This is life and there's nothing beyond here and we're just going to go into oblivion. And the other one says, no, I've heard that there's a life after the womb. Right? And what's it called? The first one is born and they hear crying and shouting or whatever, and it's a mazel tov, that's a new birth. So the non-believer thinks that the brother was born into oblivion, when the believer understands that it's just going into another existence, that part of the process of reaching shleimus. That's why it says that when a person dies, he sees the shechina. People who have been clinically dead and come back have all reported this idea of seeing a tremendously big light, which is soothing and peaceful or whatever. They're drawn towards that light. It says when a person dies, he sees the Shechina, because at that point, that's the next stage in attaching oneself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Neshama at least. And also they feel like they're going through a tunnel, because everybody goes back to Adam HaRishon. In the Moris HaMachpelah, the Neshama goes from there to the next world, because the only reason of Misa is because of Adam HaRishon. And then they feel that they're being judged and have to give an accounting of their life, right? This is all Goyim, Yidden, everybody's come back from being clinically dead. There's a book on death and dying, life after death by Moody, together with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She wrote the book on death and dying. She dealt with terminal patients for years and years. She had many, many of these situations, and all of them reported came out the same thing after, when they were clinically dead and brought back. And all of these things are what the Zohar says happens to the Neshama after death. The person sees the Shechina, this tremendous light they felt. They're going through this tunnel, which is, you have to go through Moris HaMachpelah, the Neshama, and the Din V'Cheshbon, person has to give, and then it says that the relatives that they had who died came to greet them, because everything is a hemshech of that process of history, right? And that is what death is, and for those people who are Zoche, they go right away back to Gan Eden, and then their Neshama is perfected, and their bodies are healed, and Mirtz Hashem, by Tchias HaMeisim, they'll come back together again. And some people have to go to Gehenim, and they have to have Kafa Kela to have a pre-Kapara before they can even get to Gan Eden. So if we understand what the lesson of this Sedra is, why the Torah put the Paraduma before the death of Miriam and the death of Aaron, to put death into perspective. If you look at death properly, right, through the eyes of the Kapor of the Paraduma and the Misa Sadikim, and taking away the negative responses to death, then Adarabba, then a person's life in this world, like the Chofetz Chaim said, if you're afraid to live and you're apprehensive about living properly, then you don't have to be afraid to die. Then death is part of that process of reaching. Person who doesn't know how to live in this world has to be a lot afraid of leaving this world, because he's going to leave unprepared. So Mirtz Hashem, if we understand that and we use the incentive of Misa as a positive incentive, and then we'll live our lives to its fullest, and we'll be Zoche to the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wipes away tears from all eyes, and there won't be a necessity for that temporary separation, but we'll have that V'atem Advekim B'Hashem Elokeichem, that connection and attachment to the Rabbanu Shalom, which is the ultimate life, Chaim Kulchem Ayom, life that's ultimate and eternal.